Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Let's talk about the power to live, power to serve, power to live, power to serve. We could say, let's live right and serve well. Live right, serve well. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, there's a very familiar passage of Scripture that many of us are very familiar with, because it is a key verse for we who are Pentecostals. And we are Pentecostal. And in Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and all Judea, Samaria, and unto the end of the earth. I'd like to just start off tonight by saying to you that all of us have certain items in our arsenal of faith and Christian living that helps us to make it from day to day. And so I think one of the primary things that help us to be faithful to God and serve God is to be filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now that word power there is from the Greek word dunamis, which means inherent power that is capable of reproducing itself. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Jesus, in talking to his disciples on one occasion, said, I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to send to you another comforter, another helper, that he may abide with you forever. And he talks about the fact, he says, you know him because he's been with you, but he shall be in you. And I think we need to note the scripture there, because it talks about two different experiences or levels of influence and acquaintance with the power of the Holy Ghost. It's one thing to have the presence of God with you and the power of the Holy Ghost with you, but it's another thing totally is to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, where he is not only with you, but he is above you, and he's under you, and he's beside you, and he's behind you, and he's walking in front of you, and everywhere you go, you are enveloped by the presence of the Holy Ghost of God, so that he is there to help you. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you helpless. I'm not going to leave you without comfort. I'm going to pray the Father, and he will give to you another helper, another comforter. I have helped you. I have comforted you. I have taught you. But he says, I'm going to leave in a very short time. And when I leave, I'm not going to leave you all alone. I'm going to pray the Father, and he'll send back the Holy Ghost into your life, so that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be with you all the way. Thank God for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Amen. So we talk about the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad that we are Pentecostal people, and we understand the significance of being filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, we are Pentecostal, right? Well, let me come over here on this side. That side is a little weak tonight. We are Pentecostal, right? Yeah. Woo! All right. How about you folks, this group over here? Are we Pentecostals here tonight? Yeah. All right. I'll give y'all one more chance over here. Do we have any Pentecostals over here in this group? Yeah. All right, guys. Are we going to make it 100% tonight? We have any Pentecostals over here on this side? Yeah. All right. Everybody, lift your hands and give God a shout out tonight for the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost in our life. Amen. Now, let me say to you this evening that being filled with the Holy Ghost is not a Church of God or an Assembly of God or a four-square gospel thing. Because if I understand Scripture correctly, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for anyone and everyone who wants that experience in their life. You say, well, I'm I'm Baptist. We don't believe in speaking in tongues, and we don't believe in that. That's okay. You don't have to believe, but you can still receive the Holy Ghost if you get in the right circumstances. Amen. I've seen many people come to a Pentecostal altar, and they've been from another faith or another denomination that doesn't quite agree with our different philosophy on the Holy Ghost. But I've seen the Holy Ghost get on them and come upon them. And all of a sudden, they just open up and begin to praise the Lord. And all of a sudden, they start speaking in tongues. Like the Spirit gives the utterance. And they sort of come to themselves and they say, "What was that?" Amen. What was that? We had something to happen around the altar just recently. They were praying with a certain individual, and they were sort of new to our church, new to Pentecost, and they didn't understand the way we do, the way we worship, and our belief system. But they were hungry. You know what God wants is not a Baptist or a Methodist or a Church of God. He wants somebody that's just hungry for Him, and it doesn't matter what. Woo! Oh, it doesn't matter what title you put over the door. He's looking for people who are hungry for Him and want to experience Him and want to be filled with the Spirit and want to grow closer to God. Oh, I want to tell you that the history books are full of people that have never been Pentecostal in their experience, but they just got hungry and began to praise God and seek the face of God and began to pray. And all of a sudden, in their own private place, the Holy Ghost would come upon them, and He would baptize them with the Holy Ghost, and they would speak in tongues like us Pentecostals. Amen. And that's the way God wants it to happen. This is not an exclusive thing just for the Church of God people. Amen. Or the Assembly of God, or Foursquare Gospel, or some of the mainline Pentecostal groups. We don't have a market on this. It's not just something that you have to come to our church to receive this experience. I'm here tonight to tell you that it doesn't matter what church you go to, what your background is, where you've come from. When you get hungry for God, oh, I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost is going to show up in your life, and He's going to touch you. And if you'll open your mind and you'll open your heart to Him, God will baptize you in the power of the Holy Ghost. He'll do that. And there are people here tonight, I'm sure, in this service that have experienced that. You didn't come to the altar to receive the Holy Ghost, but before you left, you had the Holy Ghost with you. And can I tell you that he's not an it. He is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. Now, I don't know how to explain all of that. You know, we are, by definition, we Church of God people, we are Trinitarians, and so we believe in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We believe that. Now, how do you explain that? I don't know. It's one of those things that's somewhat a mystery, and we try to explain it. We use some kind of example, or earthly example, or similitude of what we're talking about, but nothing really answers all the questions of the Trinity. We understand that. And we understand that God does what He wants to do, and He has revealed Himself as Father and Son, and then the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, "I'm going to pray the Father, and He will send to you the Holy Ghost. He'll send back the Comforter to you." And so when the Comforter comes, He is not an it. And I hear a lot of people use that terminology about speaking of the Holy Ghost. They say, "Well, it." Well, He's not an it. He's a person. He can be offended. He can be grieved. Go back and read the scripture, and it'll tell you He has personal qualities about Him. So being filled with the Holy Ghost is not an it experience. It is a person experience. It is being filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know about you, but I sure am glad tonight that I know the reality and the experience of being filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Because that helps me along the way sometimes. I was in my office last night trying to prepare for the message tonight. And sometimes Well, let me just speak for myself. Sometimes it's hard to get a message together, to put it together. Because first of all, you got to come up with an idea, you know. And so, you know, good Church of God preachers, we have sort of a way that we do those things. You know, first of all, we pray about it. Isn't that a good thing to do? I mean, if you're going to preach, the first thing you need to do, you better pray a little bit, you know. Find the mind. Where's Diana? Find the mind of God. We had a little joke about that. That's why I brought that up. She told me today, she said, you better go home and find the mind of God. Well, I hope by today I already have the mind of God, you know. So I was in my office last night and trying to put together some ideas of what to preach and how to preach tonight and how to put it together. I was sitting there in my little office that I have at home, and the door was closed. Jane was in the other room watching one of her favorite TV programs that she's been watching here lately, a series of things. So I was back there all by myself. And all of a sudden, while I was sitting there, I felt the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost walk into that room. Oh, that is so refreshing. So refreshing. You know, you're struggling. You're saying, Lord, help me to know. Help me to know what to say. Help me to put the sermon together. Help me to say the right things. And help me to say something that's going to be encouraging and uplifting to everybody. And I struggle with that because I want to do it right. I want to hear the voice of God. I want to hear what God says. I want to hear what God says to me so that whatever I say to you, we can say it's the mind of God. It's God's word for this people and for this night. And so I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost just showed up in that room. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, I've never experienced that. Well, you should. It is so wonderful to be able to just be in the presence of the Holy Ghost and He show up and you feel His presence and you know that He is there and you can't put your hand on Him and you can't take a picture of Him and you can't shake His hand, but all of a sudden you just know, you sense it in your spirit that the Holy Ghost of God walked into the room. I want to tell you tonight, He's walking through this room. I said the Holy Ghost is walking through this room tonight. The Holy Ghost is walking up and down the aisles of this church service tonight. The Holy Ghost is there where you are. Oh, I want to tell you, whatever your spiritual need is tonight, the Holy Ghost is here tonight to minister to you so that when you leave this place tonight, you will know that you've been in the presence of God. I don't know how you're feeling, but I'm feeling pretty good right now. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for your presence here tonight. Hallelujah. Raise your hands right now if you would and just give Him praise tonight. Hallelujah. 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 We bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus had promised His disciples He would pray the Father and send them another comforter. This is the power of the Holy Ghost in action when in Acts chapter 2 verses 1 through 4 they were all filled with the power of the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. This is the power of that same Holy Ghost experience and the Holy Ghost in action, because in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, 3,000 people got saved. Hallelujah. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. That's how the Holy Ghost works. Amen. 3,000 people got saved on the day of Pentecost. This is the power of the Holy Ghost when Peter and John came up to the lame man at the temple and he was begging alms, and they said, "We don't have any silver or gold, but that which we do have." That's significant right there. What we do have. What did they have? They didn't have any money. They were poor Church of God preachers. They didn't have any money. But they said, "Such as we have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." I want to tell you, that's the power of the Holy Ghost in action. Peter and John had freshly been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. They didn't have any money to give away. But I want to tell you, sometimes money is not the solution to your problem. Money is not going to help you. Money is not your goal. Oh, I want to tell you tonight, when you seek the face of God and the Holy Ghost shows up in your life, it's worth more than money can ever buy. Now, I come from what we call the old school Pentecost. You know, I like the old-fashioned way. And I go back, my experience goes back when those old-time saints would come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, and they would come in the church building singing, and you could hear them. Oftentimes, you could hear them coming to church because way back when, they came in their wagons. They would drive their wagons and ride their horses to church. And you could hear the families coming in, because they would come in singing the songs of Zion. And when they would get to church, they didn't have no worship leader to get up and no praise team on the platform. They just got together. Sometimes they didn't even have music. All they had was somebody up who couldn't even sing, trying to lead them in a song. And they did the best they could. But the Holy Ghost would come down and fall in their midst, and God would demonstrate miracles and signs and wonders in the midst of His people, simply because they were seeking the face and the hand of God. I'm from the old school. I don't go quite back that far now. I'm not that old. Regardless of what pastor may say, I'm not as old as he wants you to think. And I tell him all the time, I said, "Now, it's okay, because one day you're going to be where I am. And I hope Josh or Travis or Anthony or somebody will come by and remind him that he's not as young as he used to be. For my sake, John. For my sake, you know. I may not be around to do that, but hopefully somebody will pull his chain a little bit and remind him how, you can tell him, how old he is." So I don't go back. I don't go way, 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 way back, but I've read about it. I do remember old Sister Effie. Now, I've talked about her a lot, and I've talked about her a lot here in this church. Old Sister Effie was one of those old-time Pentecostals, and she believed in shouting, and she shouted. And it didn't matter whether she was in church or not in church. Wherever she was, she was a Holy Ghost-filled saint of God. And if you saw her in the grocery store and you didn't want to be embarrassed by her shouting, you better hit your buggy down the other way, because just as sure as the world, if you stopped and talked to Sister Effie, she's going to have one of those Pentecostal spells right there in the grocery store and embarrass you to death if you were embarrassed by that. But old Sister Effie had something. Old Sister Effie had been going to a nominal church, and she went to a little tent revival. Anybody remember days of tent revivals? Amen. Tent preachers would come around and set up their tents, and we'd go to tent revivals. And she went to this little tent revival there in my little hometown of Monroe, Virginia. She didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. She didn't know. She'd never seen the Holy Ghost working, and she'd never experienced anything like that. But she kept going back because something sparked her curiosity, and she got a hunger for something that God was doing, and she stayed around long enough until one night the Holy Ghost got all over her. And she began to shout and praise God and began to speak in tongues. And from that day until the day she died, she was Holy Ghost baptized and filled. Amen. All the way of her Christian life, she shouted the victory. Praise God. But old Sister Effie had the goods. Now, you know, there's a tendency then for us to look back and say, well, let's go back. Let's go back to the old days. Let's go back. Let's go back when those miracles happened. Let's go back to the day when people would see the Shekinah glory of God in the church building. That holy haze that would often come into their meetings and tent revival meetings, when they'd go preaching those tent revivals and the power of the Holy Ghost would fall and people would see a haze in the building, the glory. What it was the glory of God, the manifestation of God in that building. And a lot of people will say, well, let's go back to that day. Let's go back to that day. Oh, Sister Effie was one of those old ladies that she would walk up to the pot-bellied stove sitting in the middle of the floor when it was red hot. They were heating by wood and back in the old days, you know, before we had furnaces and those kind of things. And that old stove would be red hot, and old Sister Effie would shout her way over to that stove and put her hands all over that hot stove and never have one burn mark on her hand. Oh, people say, oh, I'd like to see that. Let's go back to that day. Let's go back. Let's go back to that time. Well, I want to tell you, I don't want to go back. I don't like going back. I hate to leave the house and halfway up the road, remember, I left my cell phone at home. Anybody done that? Oh, that bothers me something terrible, because I hate, like everything, to have to turn around and go all the way back to the house just to get my cell phone. We did that today. That's why it's fresh on my mind. That happened to me today. And I never have liked to backtrack. That's where I'm trying to go with this. I never like to backtrack. I never like to go back where I've already come from. Don is that way about riding his motorcycle. Don has a little pet peeve he has, because sometimes we've wanted to ride up to Cedar Key and get lunch and come home. Well, there's a long stretch of road. Once you turn off 19, there's a straight road, and it seems like it lasts forever. 25 miles, 25 down, 25 back. Don hates that road. He won't go with us. If he knows we're going to go up there, he won't go, because he doesn't like coming back up that same old road all the way up 19. That's okay. He can stay home if he wants to. We'll eat his food for him, you know. And some people talk about that. Well, let's go back. Let's go back. Let's go back to the day when all these spectacular things used to happen. I don't want to go back. Here's what I want. I want to get somewhere alone with God and pray through until heaven opens up and the glory of God falls and the Spirit of God fills me and touches me and supernatural things begin to happen in my life and in those around me. I want to tell you, you don't have to go back to find God. You can find God right where you are. You don't have to go back to the day of Pentecost it costs to receive the Holy Ghost. You can receive Him right now where you are in this very moment. And He'll be just as real today as He was then. I don't want to go back. I got to go. Let me move ahead. The power of the Holy Ghost helps us to live right and to make it from day to day. The Holy Ghost will give you encouragement when you're discouraged. He'll lift you up when you feel down. That's what He does. That's the ministry of the Holy Ghost. That's why He has come into our lives. You think, well, I just thought He was around so when we have a good service and things begin to happen around the altar, people will fall out in the spirit and hit the floor, or we'll jump up and down and shout and praise God. Oh, that's not at all what the power of the Holy Ghost is about. That's one of the side effects. That's how we react to the moving of the Spirit of God. People sometimes they fall out. They feel the presence of God and they fall out. And we do that around here in this church. We fall out. Only thing I want to say, if you fall out, make sure that when you get up, you were better off than when you went down. Woo! That's good preaching right there now. Don't just give us a courtesy drop. Don't just fall out because you think somebody's looking at you and you're supposed to fall out when the pastor lays his hand on you. If that's all you're doing, it's called a courtesy drop. But when the real power of the Holy Ghost is present, it is not a courtesy drop. It is the anointing of the Holy Ghost in power and demonstration. And when you fall out, you ought to get up different than when you went down. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm not into courtesy drops. I'm into the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost, when he comes on you, you may drop. And that's okay. That's what we do. But when you get up, walk straight. Get up, live better than when you went down. Don't get up carrying that same old baggage. Leave it on the floor. Shed it all off of you. Let the Holy Ghost wash you and cleanse you while you're down on the floor. Amen. Don't be peeping around to see who's going to fall on you or who's going to step on you or whatever. If it's really God, it won't matter. It won't happen. I told you I'm old-fashioned. I believe when the power of God falls, you don't have to worry about things. Come on. Amen. Oh, help me, Jesus. I've got 10 minutes to preach 4 more points. How many are going to stick with me? That's what I thought, you bunch of forsakers. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm not going to go over time. Let me just share some other points with you tonight. We not only have the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost with us. That is significant. That is majorly significant. But then we also have the power of the blood. Power of the blood. Old song that we have sung for years around the Church of God. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. People have said, well, Christianity is a bloody religion. Well, there's some truth to that, I guess, because Jesus shed his blood so that we could be saved. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there is no remission of sin. There's no forgiveness of sin. It's through the blood that we get saved. It's the blood that covers our sins. And everybody in this building has been a sinner. I wish I had a little time tonight to talk about the fact that, you know, we hear people say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I am not. I beg your pardon. I am not a sinner saved by grace. Well, Brother Kesh, does that mean you never sin? No, I didn't say that. A person who goes out and builds a house, what do you call them? Carpenter, right? Because he builds a house. That's what he does every day. He builds a house. You go down to the car shop and you have a mechanic. And what does he do all day? He works on the automobile. That's what he does. That's his life. He spends his life doing that. I am not a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner, but I have been saved by grace. And the blood of Jesus has washed my sins away. So that when I get up from the altar of redemption and conversion, when I get up, I am not practicing sin on an everyday basis. Are you with me tonight? I do not. The carpenter goes out every day and he drives nails and he builds a building and he does this, and we call him a carpenter because that's what he does every day. I am not a sinner who is saved by grace. I am a saint of the living God, and when I do something that is wrong, I too have to go back and say, God, have mercy on me. But I don't live in that lifestyle. I don't practice sinning every day of my life. I've been saved. I've been redeemed. The blood of Jesus is sufficient to take care of me so that I am no longer a sinner practicing sin every day. Does that make any sense to anybody? And so the blood of Jesus, the power of the blood of Jesus is significant for us. The blood of Jesus washes our sins away. And if we were to go through this church tonight and just take an inventory of who you are and where you've come from and the life that you've lived, some of you would be on the top of the list as great sinners. Great sinners. Bad sinners. You know, you did everything. Whatever was wrong, you did it. And you enjoyed it. Because sin does have pleasures. But sin will also cause you to go to hell. Serving the Lord is a decision that we make because we decide we want to go to heaven and not go to hell. If you live in sin, if you practice sinning all the time and you are a sinner, then you're going to hell. Now, if you're saved by grace and you mess up and you do something you know God's not pleased with, that doesn't make you a practicing sinner. You just messed up. What do? Well, you say, well, it's okay. God understands. It's okay. No, you need to go back to the altar somewhere. It may be in church, it may be in your automobile, it may be in your bedside or wherever, but you just need to go back to your prayer chambers and say, God, I messed up today. That car came around me so fast and cut right in front of me, and I said a bad word. And you heard it, God. I know you heard it. Because immediately the Holy Ghost, we're back to Him now. We're back to the Holy Ghost. What does He do? He brings conviction on us when we do something that we know God is not pleased with. And so what do? We find us an altar of prayer somewhere at Broderick, and we go back and we get back on our knees and we say, Lord, I know I'm doing my best to live for you, and I'm doing my best to be a good servant of God and be faithful to the word and be the best Christian I can be. But today I messed up. God, would you have mercy on me? Would you forgive me? I'll do my best, Lord, if you'll just help me. If you'll just help me, I'll never do that again. Are you with me tonight? Yes. Are you following me tonight? You see, we need to live under the blood covering. Amen. You never need to be out from under the blood covering. You need to live your Christian life knowing that the blood of Jesus has been applied to you. And the blood of Jesus, it is sufficient to take care and to cover and to forgive all sins. It doesn't matter how deep or how badly you've been into this thing of sin in your life. But I want to tell you, it doesn't matter where you've come from and how bad a sinner you were. The blood of Jesus is sufficient to forgive you of all sin. Woo! The power of the blood. The power of the blood. Oh, that's where we need to live as well. And then the power of the blood is sufficient for us. And then there's power in the name of Jesus. I got 3 minutes. Power in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, if you'll ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Amen? Do we believe that or not? Do we believe the Bible? The Bible says that. If Jesus said, if you'll ask anything in my name, I'll do it. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. What's significant about a name? We could call your name tonight. Every scientist tells us, they've studied these kind of things, and they say that everybody likes to hear their name called. They really do. I'll be honest. I like it when somebody calls my name. I like it when I'm standing outside and somebody walks by and says, "Hey, Pastor Cash, I like that." You know, it gets my attention. I like it when somebody calls my name. Well, there's nothing really significant about my name, but there is something significant about the name of Jesus. For there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. Jesus is his name. When the enemy comes in like a flood and tries to overcome you and tear you up and pull you down, all you have to do is call on Jesus. Jesus. Just say his name, Jesus. He's not far away. Jesus doesn't wear hearing aids. Jesus is not hard of hearing. He hears you. When you call his name, when you say his name, he knows immediately your voice. He knows who you are. He knows your voice. He knows my old broken Virginia brogue. And when I call on the name of the Lord, he says, "That's Roger again. I know who that is. He's talking like one of those Virginia Ridge Runner hillbillies. I know who he is." But it doesn't matter to him who I am. He just moves up beside me. When I call on his name, he just moves up beside me. And I begin to call on the name of Jesus, and Jesus just shows up. The Holy Ghost shows up, and Jesus, the presence of God, is there. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you all the way." And when the devil beats you down and circumstances beat you down and you don't even feel like getting up, call on the name that is above all names, because he will come. Amen. And he will rescue you. And he'll make a way where there seemeth to be no way. There's power in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo, I'm tired. Power in the name of Jesus. You may be here tonight and you have needs in your life. I know it's Wednesday night. That's okay. God shows up on Wednesday night too. Holy Ghost knows it's Wednesday. He shows up on Wednesday nights. You may be here in this building tonight, and you may have certain needs in your life. In a congregation, you know, this size, there's always somebody that's got something they need from God. I already had one person that came up to me tonight and said, "Would you please pray for me tonight?" We're going to do that. And we're going to believe God for a miracle in her life, because she needs a miracle right now. Things are sort of adverse and going downhill, and she's struggling. Don't know where the answer is going to come from, but God in heaven knows. God has his hand on his people, and he knows their circumstances. And tonight, if you're in this building and you need prayer, you have something you want to just lay on the Lord tonight before you go home, before you leave this place, I'm going to invite you in just a few moments to make your way out of your seat, out of the aisle, walk down here. I can't promise you anything in particular that God's going to do for you. But I can promise you this, that God will be aware of your need. And you won't leave this place without him having knowledge of where you are and what your need may be. Would you stand with me tonight? If you have a need, some of the prayer team, would you come on down?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.